Jonathan, in 1 Samuel there, loved David with all of his heart. And he brought out how Jonathan's love for David was the perfect example of how our love should look towards Christ. Jonathan would have been the next king, and he would have he was the heir to the throne, and he was basically the king, and he loved David with all of his heart, and he basically told David that all that I have is thine, and he handed things everything over to David, and I was just that struck me as I thought of that that how I need to get off the throne and give my all to Christ. I was inspired, but at the end of the week, on Friday, I was a little bit overwhelmed after listening to some of the final messages there of just seeing my tremendous needs. And I was a little overwhelmed of, you know, where do I start? That's kind of how I felt. And I thought of one of the messages that Isaac preached. He talked about the grace that is available to us. He said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And he expounded a little bit about what it's like to be resisted by God. It's a scary place to be, he said. And he said something along the lines of, God's grace flows to the lowest places. It flows to the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the destitute, the poor, the unlearned, the frail, the brokenhearted, the hurting soul, not to the ones that need nothing, the ones that are full of knowledge and self and pride. And the final message there that Dad preached on just being surrendered to the Lord's will, it just inspired me as I was feeling overwhelmed about all my needs that the key is just to be more fully broken and surrendered to God's will. And then he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we could ask or think. So, anyway, that's all I have.
morning. Before David went and fought the Philistine giant, there were two statements he made that we learned about this past week, that were significant. The first one was, he said, "Is there not a cause?" And then he said, "I will go and fight." David could see that it wasn't just himself that he was fighting for. He could see that it was for God's people, that it was for God's name, and he was willing to go in God's name so that God could be glorified. I think we all believe this morning that the reason that David overcame was because that God was with him. Maybe if God hadn't been with him, the stone that he slung might have hit Goliath's helmet and bounced off, and Goliath may have won. But this morning, it is the same today as it was when David was fighting the giant, that our God is just as near to us as he was to David. So maybe there is something we see in our lives that we need to overcome, or maybe there's some temptation that we'll face, and maybe our response could be the same as David's, that we will go. That's what I want in my own life. I saw many needs in my own life, many things that I should change, and I want to have that response when the Lord lays something on my heart, or when the Lord touches my life, just to say, "I will go and be willing." The battle is the Lord's, and His name will win the fight.
Good morning. I just want to read the last three verses of this. In the back of our songbook, there was 11 verses of a poem written on there, and I just want to read the last three. "The general stands with piercing gaze, searching the whole world through, for men who count all things but loss, that Christ may claim His due." Just note that Christ may claim His due. "Reinforcements, who will win the fight? Who will fight to win at any cost? Enduring hardness as becomes a soldier of the cross. But as he looks with longing eye, his heart is stirred with grief. He weeps as men discard their swords and seek more self-relief. Enlisted soldiers turn their backs to find a smoother course, forgetting that God's kingdom stands and must be won by force. Then he turns, and I hear him say, in a whisper soft and low, 'My child, will you take up your sword, gird up your heart, and go?' And I bow in awe before my Lord, in quiet sense of need, compelled to say, 'Lord, by thy grace, I will thy soldier be.'" I think what stood out to me this week, probably more so, was when Brother John of Sarah was sharing on lessons from the life of David. He spoke on how David found God, someone worthy of worship, and how David found God to be someone much more than just to someone who he could run to to fix all his problems. John didn't say this, but I'm just to explain what I'm trying to get to is, sometimes do we just use God as a tool? Like, I have something broken, so here, fix it. And I know that's not our hearts here, but just something that spoke to me, is that what I'm doing? Or do I go to God and worship Him for who He is? And the reason I said note that one phrase there, that Christ may claim His due. He has suffered for me. And is He not worthy to eat of the fruit of His suffering? Is something that strikes my heart to think about. So therefore, I ought to live my life wholly for Him. And there's a few more things I just wanted to say, that what John had shared there was that whenever you find yourself in a pit, he said every pit has a ladder to get out. And he said, don't sit there and wonder, why am I here in this pit? He said, just get out sooner. So whenever we find
self in an area like that and having needs, let's just get out sooner. Let's go to God. And earlier this week, last week, I saw my needs and it looked about just too big for me to handle. It just looked overbearing because I see my lack, my needs. But as the week went on, God delivered me from that and gave me confidence again. And knowing that He is here for me through every circumstance, every area of life. And I endeavor to continue to walk in that way with you brothers. Thank you all.
I was blessed and inspired with Alan's series of messages on the first and greatest commandment, specifically the message titled Loving God with All My Mind and Strength. So I will share some of those excerpts and quotes with you. To love God with all my mind requires a disciplined mind. Many times the battle is either lost or won in my mind. Our thoughts and words direct our life. We must be careful to guard our mind because we are responsible for our thoughts. When less than God-honoring thoughts enter our mind, it's important we have something else to replace them with. And those replacements only come with a surrendered heart and by engaging ourselves in the Word of God. It's easy to act your way into right thinking rather than to think your way into right acting. A few practical points were given to us to draw our minds to a God-centered thought life rather than a me-centered thought life. Read through the four Gospels once a month. Memorize the Word. Study the Word. Write out the Word. Memorize hymns. Read church history. Cultivate thoughts of God and His goodness. My desire is to be a diligent, discerning, and disciplined gatekeeper of my mind.
And encourage this past week here. We heard a lot of good teaching. Just like the song that we sang says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." God had that love for us that He gave up His only Son, That way we can live eternal. We have eternal life. And Brother Alan Troyer, he spoke on the greatest commandment in the Bible, and is that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And he said, three evidence that we love God is, number one is, do we have gratitude to God? How much thankfulness do we have for God? Number two is obedience to God. And like that verse says, if you love me, you can keep my commandments. Do we have that obedience to God, or do we obey him? And three is devotion to God. Like Jesus had a devoted heart to God. Do we have that devoted heart to God? When we love God, we will follow God. So, do I really love God, and how much do I love God? I was blessed by everything that we heard.
Good morning, everyone. We had a lot of good messages, and I was very blessed by them all. One theme that was present through several of the messages and songs was the motivation behind our relationship with God. It was said, we need to move past our fear of hell and develop a relationship with God. John gave the example of David and his sin with Bathsheba. He didn't repent so he could get to heaven, but so he could restore his relationship with God. An example I thought of was, I was trying to bring it down to my level so I could really think of how it would feel. If several years ago, I would have been trying to form a relationship with Saloma, and suddenly she starts talking to me and spending time with me, and I'm like, oh, she actually wants to be my friend and start spending more time together. And suddenly I realize she didn't want to be friends with me to be friends with me, but so she could get to my brother. How would that feel? I would feel pretty used. And I just thought that's how it is sometimes when we form a relationship with Jesus just so that we can get to heaven. We're just using him to get what we want. And just to clarify, Saloma did not do that to me. There are also more benefits to having a true relationship with God. By his grace, we can come out of difficult times with peace and joy rather than being discouraged and depressed. David had the capacity in discouraging times to be encouraged in the Lord. Martyrs endured not by their own strength, but by God's. He can help me allow the trials of my life to make me better and not bitter. He will walk with us, deliver us, and help us in our time of need. With him, there is always hope. Whether or not I receive the blessings is up to me. We have the opportunity to have a relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who created and breathed life into us, one who loves us more than we could ever know, and we could spend a lifetime of learning of him and still have much more to learn. This amazing God is just a prayer away, and relationships take time and effort. He is willing and seeking for one with me. What is my response? And I thought I would read a song that we sang out there. My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet for fear that loving not I might forever die, but for that thou didst all mankind upon the cross embrace, for us didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless and sweat of agony, even death itself and all for man who was thine enemy. Then why, most loving Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell, not with the hope of gaining aught nor seeking a reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord. Even so I love thee, and will love, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my eternal King.
So I was Alan Turr's messages on the first and greatest commandment. That was I was really challenged and inspired by them. He explained how to love God with all our hearts. We must have the proper fear of God. We must have the proper fear of God in our hearts. The fear of God and love of God works together. And because when we love someone, you don't want to disappoint them. So that's Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5, and 6. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our Lord is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart. So he was saying how Alan was saying how God's biggest problem in the Old Testament, it was not the giants, it was not the Philistines, but it was his people. And it's still that way today. God can take care of the giants in our life, but it's, God is calling people that love him with all of our hearts. And he was he explained how love for God, loving God with our whole heart, it's not a destination, it's a journey. We will never get done. Our love for God must be cultivated. And so we were created in the image of God. We were created to love. We have passions to fill. The question is, who is the object of my love? It's who I love, I will follow. That was really good for me to hear that. So sometimes we lose the wonder of God's love, mercy, and grace. We can never lose the wonder of what God did for us on the cross. If we lose that wonder, it's going to be hard for us to love him with our whole heart. This quote that he was read, it said, "All other religions is the story of how men are trying to pursue their God. Christianity is the only religion that tells how God has pursued men." We should love God with our whole heart because he first loved us, and we will never know how much he loves us. And some of this was shared already, but the evidence of loving God is obedience to the Word of God. Is obedience to the Word of God important to me? We can all have the knowledge that, yeah, we need to love God, but unless we live it out in our lives, it shows our lives truly show that we don't love God, because love can only be shown from the actions it prompts. So this just gave me a deep desire in my heart to have the commandments of God in our heart, as that verse said, and to live it out. God's calling his people for a full surrender and to love him with all their hearts. And I was thinking, he was talking a lot about loving God with all our soul and how we must lose our soul. If we will lose our soul, we shall save it. And I was thinking about, what are we going to do with all that we heard? Are we going to be like the rich young ruler that said, "No, the cost is too great. My desire is to press in and to love the Lord with all my heart. That's all I have."
Good morning. I was also very thankful to be here this past week. Be at Bible school, I found very many areas in my life that I need to work on. John's messages on the life of David were very good. I appreciate all his thoughts. He talked about David's devotion to God and how David found God worthy of worshiping. We read that a lot in Psalms. His writings in Psalms show us that very often. When he saw God's greatness, he realized his great need. And John said that if we would take time to worship God more, our faith would be greater. And in Psalm 84, verse 2, David said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." In verse 5, he wrote, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." David's complete trust in God that he had even in his younger years was inspiring to me. When he killed the giant, his faith was in, it was not in his sling, but it was in God. And even through very difficult times, David turned to God. John asked us, when difficulty arises and all of our thoughts would be written down, what would they look like? Would it be doubt and fear, and or would it be, "God, I don't understand, but I still trust you"? Would my faith and trust be evident in God if all my thoughts would be written down? He just asked us a question. Can we trust in God? Even through hard times, my desire is that I could have that complete trust. Just like David wrote in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's my prayer. So.
Hi, everyone. So Wednesday night, Steve preached the message on having a better relationship with my parents. And that really convicted me because there are so many people out there that desperately want to have a good relationship with their parents, and they can't. But I have everything there. I have great parents, I have loving parents, and I have a structured home. And yet I still find it hard sometimes to be obedient and just to respect them. And one of the 3 points that really stuck out to me was obedience. And he said it is a hidden mystery. And obedience is not bondage. And people sometimes, like myself, find it hard to, they tend to think sometimes that to obey parents is bondage. But really, our parents, they see the danger in the things that we maybe don't think are so bad. And the hidden mystery of obedience, he said, is Christ in you. So if I have Christ in me, then I will want to obey my parents. And then a quote he said that it really struck me. He said, "It's not the years in my life that count. It's the life in my years." And so that is my desire.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, Brother John preached a series of messages down there, lessons from the life of David. And it was just an encouragement to me because David was a victorious soldier. It don't matter. He came out a soldier, and God sent the prophet there for him, and it convicted him, and he repented and fell down on his face and just sought the Lord. And then, even when he was down in the deepest pits, he found victory. He sought the Lord, and he was a victorious soldier. He didn't give up. He was chased all his life. He lived a life on the run, and it was just inspiring to me that here I am in a godly home. And yet, in the failures, we become discouraged. But as Isaac shared, he said that he refuses to become discouraged, and it was just a blessing to me. And then Victoria already read it, but it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." And there's a promise there; He will always be with us, no matter what circumstances we are in. but he'll always be there for us. And then if we walk in his word, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that would be my heart and desire. And then also, Isaac Zimmerman shared a message, or a series of messages. And then on the platform, he had chairs. And it was just, so we're in one chair, and who do we fill the other chairs up with? He gave the example of, there's a lot of times we put who we want in those chairs to give us the answer that we want. Not who we really should have, but just so that we can get the answer that we want. And that was just an encouragement to me, because how often do I sit in those chairs and either answer my own questions or get and have someone there to confirm it, or have the people there that should be there in my life? So that was a blessing to me, and God bless you.
Graber touched on it. Isaac Zimmerman, his last message, he talked about the grace of God. He talked about the riches in the storehouses of God's grace and power that are available to me. And through the course of that message, there's a seed of faith planted in my heart. Because each one of us, we have an enemy, we face battles and temptations, and us as young people, we face pressures. And I was inspired that whatever it is we might be facing, there is grace and power to overcome in our personal lives. And he showed us how we are to do that. And if we seek God with our whole heart, in humility and faith, we can have all that God has for us. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's kind of what I took home. Through the course of this next year, we may face many things. But if we have the grace and power of God in our lives, we can overcome anything. And I was blessed by that thought. The song we just sang, I appreciated the words. It says, "Awake, arise, O church of God. The crowning day is near. The Lord Jehovah, King of kings, on earth will soon appear. Lift high the standard of your faith. Quit you like men, for Christ be strong. The reign of sin and death on earth will not continue long." And the evil that the devil brings against us as Christians, and sometimes it feels like evil is winning, but the reign of sin and death on this earth, it's not going to continue long. The crowning day is nearer than we think. So let's lift up our heads in confidence and bravely march along. Let's put on the armor of God's might and, pressing onward, win the fight. Let's make known to all the world around that Christ is this world's light.
John Lonneker had a series of messages titled Lessons from the Life of David. One thing he shared on was worship. If we determine that God is worthy, we will worship him. True worship of God will have a pursuit of righteousness. The pursuit of God will draw us to purity and holiness. We have been given so much. Is God getting what he deserves? Another thing that inspired me was when David failed, he turned to God and acknowledged his sin. He found grace to continue on in his trying. He spent a period of time of just waiting on God. When everyone saw a disaster, David saw an opportunity. There is a God to glorify. He has promised to help us. That same God that David served, his power is still available for us today.
Good morning, everyone. This last week's been a blessing to me. It's richly blessed and convicted in many areas of my life. The song we just finished singing, it says, "Awake, arise, O church of God," and the crowning day is near. The Lord Jehovah, King of kings on earth, will soon appear. Lift high the standard of your faith. And then that was the first two stanzas. And then I was thinking, Isaac Zimmerman shared on, he was talking to the young people, he said, let us make the church great again. And I was, and he gave the reason, the way to do that was by embracing the vision of the church has, because the church is not just making its own vision, it has a vision for the future. He shared on a testimony, no, this was Alan, I guess, but he said that his son has a little 2-year-old boy that went walking toward this cliff edge, and he grabbed him, and he said the boy didn't like that. He started screaming and hollering, but he didn't see that over the edge was 30 foot, and it would have been a disaster. And I was thinking of that. Sometimes if the ministry or our parents tell us something, and we kind of want to maybe kick against it, but they see the 30 foot fall beyond that great thing we want to do. So bless y'all.
Yes, good morning. I wasn't planning to share anything, but we have a little bit of time yet, and so I didn't have any notes, but I was standing up here thinking, and I would too say that I was very blessed and inspired and encouraged this week, and I was also challenged and convicted in different areas of my life that I can grow in and mature in more. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I was thinking about that I am also made more responsible this week, and I would endeavor to, I desire to use the things that I heard this week and apply it to my life, not just forget about these things. It's so easy to do that. And so I would just beg you all to pray for us that we can, as we might feel encouraged right now, we might feel, you know, spiritually high, if we can say that right now. But next week is another week, and just pray for us that we can remain faithful, and with the battles and temptations that come, that we can conquer them through Christ, which strengthens us, and that we can just therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as it says in Timothy. So God bless you.
Good morning. I wasn't planning to share, but so I don't really have any notes, but I was just really blessed and challenged this past week going to Bible school. Alan Troyer's message on loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. I really see my need in that area to fill my mind with the Word of God and to spend more time in prayer and, you know, just in a practical application of that is when I sit down, do I pull my phone out or do I sit there and pray and meditate on God's word? Just a challenge in those areas. And as John Lonaker was sharing on the life of David, he was on the second day there with his messages. He was gone through some of David's failures that he had in life. And I was sitting there just thinking of all the needs of my own life and what we have before us to fight, and it brought a little bit of you could say discouragement in my mind, just thinking of what we have before us to fulfill and what we have to live out. But then my mind went back earlier to that day when Isaac shared, and he shared a verse out of Luke 12:32. This is an amplified version. I wrote it down, but this is a verse that I brought home from Bible school and just really blessed me. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And if we can just take that with us, it is the Lord has grace for when we are facing temptations and trials in our life. And so that's all I have. God bless.
Yeah, well, I wasn't planning on sharing either, but they said we had a little time, I guess. So yeah, this week was a rich blessing for me. I've seen a lot of needs in my life. And, yeah, Isaac, he had a message, I think it was the last message, and he talked about God has help for each one of our needs that we have. He explained it as, like, there's a warehouse, and there's a whole bunch of files in it with each one of our names on it. And each file has something that we need and that we can use if we have in time of need, I guess I should say. So that was encouragement that when I have something in my life that I need or need to work on, he has help for each one of us. So I thought that was a blessing, and yeah, I learned a lot this week, so it's good.
So I was just standing up here and trying to decide what I could share, if there's overtime, and there is. And I was thinking there's one thing that I took away from this week, if above all else probably, and that is just to go deeper with God. Alan shared a little story. He said there's a 4-year-old boy fell out of bed. And his mom asked him in the morning, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, that's easy. I wasn't in far enough." And it might be humorous, but that's exactly what happened. He wasn't in far enough. And I just want to go in further and seek God more. And maybe we can do that through reading,
praying, devotionals, just pressing in, being intentional with our spiritual life. Too many times we go through this life and just, there's no, we just kind of like, I don't know, wake up in the morning, we run through our devotions, and we go to work, and we're trying to keep it alive, but we're not pressing in, we're not going deeper. And I just want to say that we're risking of falling out of bed, if that's the case. In this case, it's much more serious than falling out of bed. We're falling out of the spiritual livelihood. But let's press in and go deep and not fall out of bed. So that's just my encouragement.
Yes, I was also blessed last week with all the messages. And like Matt said, I've seen my own needs and the areas I need to grow in. And one of them was just growing closer to God and making time for God and having a personal relationship with Him. As we go throughout our weeks, man, we can grow lax in that and we grow cold toward God. And one of the songs that was in the book, and I don't think we're going to sing it, but it was a question mark. It says, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I'll just read a couple of the verses. It says, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers? Others, other lives to bring. Who will leave the world side? Who will face the fall? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine." Josh shared a little bit on Isaac's message about making the church great again. And he said the way to do it is not by making ourselves great or trying to raise ourselves up like the world does, but it's by humbling ourselves and looking for small opportunities to serve the Lord wherever that is. And I was really blessed by that. So I'll just read the last verse of the song, and then I'll leave it as a blessing. "Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure. For his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine." Isaac had, on his last few minutes, he had like a rallying cry for Christians to rise up in this world. And that was a blessing for me. So
we're actually going to sing "Who is on the Lord's Side." Caleb was reading there. That's number 498 in the hymns of the church. So you all could join us on the last verse. Nice.
Jesus, thou hast called. was told to kind of fill in the cracks, so I don't know what I will share. Probably the message theme that stuck out to me that I was most interested in this week was Isaac's on developing personal convictions. Developing personal convictions that will sustain us even though perhaps others around us fall. We can't depend on, it was stated many times, we can't depend on the personal convictions of others. We can't depend on the personal convictions of my parents to lead me through my life. I need to develop those personal standards in my own life. And we've probably heard the example before about the boat of salvation. And Isaac said that there's no riders on the boat of salvation. If you can picture that, there's no just free riders on the boat of salvation. I was thinking of that for us as youth. Unless we have an oar and we're paddling and doing our part on that boat, we're going to fall off, right? Midway through life. There's no riders on the boat of salvation. And I appreciated what Isaac had to say about personal convictions and the church. You know, like the differences and the diversity in the church and how each member is different, but yet with the same vision. I'm just going to read some of his excerpts that he gave us from his messages. Each member is different, but not incompatible. Each member has a different purpose, but not a different vision. Each member is unique, but not independent. And on regarding five ways, he gave us five ways to grow in congregational unity. And we all want to grow in congregational unity, right? And what would be the first point that you could think of that would help us to grow in congregational unity? Is it drawing closer to each other? Get to know James better and get to know Mart better and get to know your convictions and your past and your story better. I don't think that's the first point. His first point that he gave us for congregational unity was draw near to Jesus. He said there is no disunity when we are kneeling at Calvary. The second point that he gave us for congregational unity was embrace the principle within. Each member embraced the principles within of the church. The third point for congregational unity was discuss issues together. Be open. And then right after that, the fourth point for congregational unity was submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then the last point was have fervent charity. For congregational unity, I appreciated that because that's on my heart right now. How can we have that unity? We're a big group, and I want to invest in that. My heart is here. I appreciate you, each one of you. God bless you.
Sink into our hearts. There's a reason that the spiritual temperature of a church is tested by this group of people. You are the church. Let's sing Alive, Alive, okay? Children, sing with all your heart, okay? Just because you have the older ones helping you doesn't mean you shouldn't sing, okay? You know this song, so give it all we got.
Alive, alive.